Okay, we are on, still in chapter 46, we're on page 243, 244. In Hebrew, it's the first word in line is Be'arichos with two dots next to it. It is just above the middle of the page. And the English, it's where the triangle is on the right, left-hand side, all these angels ask.
Yes.
So we were talking now about developing another, it's an extension actually of chapter 18. And in chapter 18, the Alter Rebbe said that not everybody has the intellectual capacity of arousing a love and fear, but you can rely on the natural love and fear that exists within the Jew. So here he's taking that and explaining it, taking it, running with it a little one step further, saying that, what does it mean to have a natural love? Like, for example, he gives the king of a king. You have the king who is a king who comes out of his palace and he goes down to the garbage dump and he takes a guy out of the dump and brings it into his inner sanctum, and there he hugs him and he kisses him. And he establishes this real close relationship, a unity with this lowly person. This low person would have a tremendous affinity to the king. Even if this person till now had been bad-mouthing the king, and had been saying all kinds of horrible things, and all kinds of horrible opinions about the king, all of this would just melt away, pour out like water, and this person would have like a real love of a love of the king. Okay, so then he says, so now in this part he starts and says that, well, that's what Hashem did. Hashem descended from his place of his glory and came down into this world to get us. And that's what it says. Now, with a kulam shoylim ayimim kem kevodai, as if all the angels, they ask, where is the place of God's glory? And they answer that the earth is filled with his glory. And what is his glory that is filling the earth? Are the Jewish people. We are the glory of Hashem. As he says over here, Hashem left over the upper worlds, the lower worlds, just said, that's not what I want. That's not what I'm creating the world for. V'lo bochar b'kulam, and he didn't choose any of them. What things in this world are called chosen?
Children of Israel.
Exactly. The B'nai Yisrael are called the chosen people. That's about it.
Ki'im
b'Yisrael amai. He chose the Jewish people. So it says, it's an interesting thing. It says, so you have the Eifanim, and you have the Seraphim, and you have the Malachim, all these different levels of angels. And you have the Spheros, which are divine divine attributes of Hashem. And Hashem says, that's not what I'm creating the world. Hashem did not create the world for Chesed of Atzilus, for kindness of emanation. And it's explained in the Zohar, and is brought down in the Maimorim, Ki lefanev yiridas panev lefanev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because for Hashem, that's considered a descent. Because Hashem has to limit himself,
yes,
in even this infinite revelation of kindness, because it's stuck in being kindness. Chesed of Atzilus,
right,
can't do anything except be kindness.
Yeah.
So that's limiting to Hashem. Hashem doesn't want that.
Sure.
Hashem wants to be able to express himself fully.
Right.
Where can Hashem express himself fully? The will of Hashem can be expressed fully right here. As he's going to say soon. Vahitziyam in Mitzrayim erbos ha'aretz makayim ha'zahuma v'hatuma. And Hashem came and schlepped us out of Egypt, which is the most despicable, disgusting, abominable place. And schlepped us out of the impurity. Then it says, we say in the Haggadah, V'lo al yedei malach, V'lo al yedei saraf, not through an angel, not through one of the seraphim, Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'choyde v'atzma yered l'sham. But Hashem himself went into Mitzrayim to schlep us out. And we could say that the reason why it is that Hashem had to schlep us out is because had a malach gone into Israel, into Egypt, to schlep out the B'nai Yisrael, that since they were on the hanging at the abyss of the fifth, on the edge of the 50th level of impurity, that the angel would have gotten stuck and wouldn't have been able to schlep him out. Mm-hmm. But if Hashem wanted them to be schlepped out by an angel, I got news for you. they would have been schlepped out by an angel.
They
would have sent some bigger angel. You got one of those big tow trucks that schlepped the buses over there, you know. It's just a big one. Yeah. He would have gotten, and they would have schlepped them out.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the point. Hashem said, it's me. I want to do this.
I want the relationship.
And even though they're in this stinking, disgusting place, it's an amazing thing. When you change your own kids' diapers, it's not so bad.
Mm. Anybody else?
Any other kid? Ugh. Like nauseating, like your stomach turns.
Yeah.
Okay, now the parent of that kid, your stomach is turning. The parent who's a kid, his stomach's not turning.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, why is that? Does the parent not have a sense of smell? Does your sense of smell get dulled when it's their own kid? No. It's because they love them. And the love overpowers that. Yes, my kid, I don't want my kid smelling like that. So therefore, I'm going to jump into action. And I'm going to be able to clean this kid up.
Take care of that.
Whereas somebody else's kid, I don't love that kid.
Yeah.
It says, Allah Kashbaruch Ba'atma, Yared Lasham. Kamashakasav Va'arid Lahatzila. It says, and I went down to save you, them. Kidei Lekarvam Allah V'kira V'yichad Amiti. In order to bring us close to this true and one unity. We didn't go down to Egypt just to go down to Egypt's sake. That wasn't the whole point. The whole reason why we went to Egypt was in order to go out of Egypt and get to Torah. Like Hashem promised Abraham at the Bris Bein Besorim, at the covenant between the pieces, that they're going to get the Torah. And at that time, Hashem taught Abraham the entire Torah, because Abraham wasn't like the Bnei Yisrael. Mm. When Hashem came to the Bnei Yisrael and said, do you want the Torah? They said, Nasa V'nishma. We'll do it. We'll take it. Abraham said, is it worth it? Show me. You want to give me the Torah? Is it worth it? Show me the Torah. So Hashem taught Avraham Avinu the whole entire Torah. And Avraham, it says, is Mekayim Kol HaTorah Ad Shelo Nitna Afilo Erev Tavshilin. Avraham fulfilled what it said in the Torah, even the slightest rabbinic enactment, such like Erev Tavshilin. And he sat down, and yes, he had a Seder with four cups of wine and matzah, and it was all in the future tense. But that happened yet. Okay? Because he thought that the Torah, this is worth it. But Hashem said, not so fast. You got a problem. You are the son of an idolater. Your kids are going to be the grandchildren of idolaters. So you can't give the Torah to somebody who's got such a genetic defect. We got to do some genetic manipulation over here. We got to get rid of that character trait. And Hashem offered Abraham two choices. You know about this, Denny, yeah? Yeah.
Please
so,
give it over.
Huh?
Please give it over, though.
He said two choices, an hour of Gehenna or 400 years in Mitzrayim. So now, Abraham was very smart. So if I tell you I'm going to give you a present, you have a choice of one or two things. An Ugoldorf or a whatchamacallit. Which one do you want? You know, why can't I make a choice? I don't know what either one of them is.
Right, exactly.
So Abraham said, I can't make a choice, Gehenna or Mitzrayim. How am I supposed to make a choice? Show me what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So it says in chapter 15 of the book of Bereishis, that by the Bris Bein Besorim, that the night came and Abraham fell asleep and a great dread fell over him. And we're told that he was shown a minute of purgatory. And he woke up and he said, I'm taking Mitzrayim. In order that we went down to Mitzrayim, not to go just down to Mitzrayim, but to get rid of our connection to Terah. So that when you ask us, who's your father? Who's your daddy? So we don't say Terah. That's not in there. We stop at Abraham. That's it. That's as far back as our DNA goes. Abraham. Because our connection to Terah was burnt off, you might say. Or manipulated out of there, however you'd like to put it. And then Hashem, seeing that this was happening, what was Hashem waiting for? Hashem was waiting for the moment when that final connection to Terach would be gone. And then when it was gone, then he came right away in the blink of an eye and took the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. As soon as they were ready. To create a true unity, b'his kashrus ha-nefesh mamash, b'chinesh neshikim pel lepeh. And that, in order to create a unity, which is the unity of called kissing, this is why in the example, you kind of worry about this king. you know. In the example of the king, he goes down, he finds some lowlife over there, some low-class person, and he brings him into his bedroom, and he starts kissing him and hugging him. You know, you're kind of wondering about the king. But you have to put those details in over here, because the Alter Rebbe was not thinking like I'm thinking. The Neshikin is the words of Torah. When you're talking the words of Torah, Hashem is kissing you, so to speak, because you're saying what's coming out of your mouth is what came out of Hashem's mouth. So it's mouth to mouth is what it is. That's called a kiss in English. L'daber dvar Hashem zu halacha. To speak the words of Hashem, this is halacha. As it says that Shechar of Beis HaMikdash ain l'kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ela dalet amash al halacha. That since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is only just the four amos of halacha where you find Hashem. Because what's halacha? Especially, you're talking, you know, simple pashut halacha. It's what Hashem wants us to do. All those laws, starting from Hashkamas HaBeker until the last halacha in Choshen Mishpat, with all the minutiae and intricacies, what is it?
Sounds well.
It's what Hashem wants. You want to know what Hashem wants? Hit the book. V'izdveikas rucho barucho hu hasagas hatera v'yediyas ritzonav hachmasa dekul echad mamish. Because then what happens is when you're studying the Torah, you know, now know what Hashem wants. And he said back in chapter 5, that when a person studies the Torah, there's an awesome unity made because the idea has now permeated his intellect, and his intellect is enveloping the idea. And what is the idea? The will and wisdom of Hashem. So when a person studies Torah, what's in their head is the will and wisdom of Hashem. And he says, like in a yichud niflosha and yichud kamayhu baretz, in such a wondrous unity that there is no way to exemplify this unity in the world. When it comes that a person understands this concept and how unified they are with Hashem. The gam b'chinas chibuk, and the example, the king is also hugging him. What's the hugging? Who kiyam amitzvus ma'isis v'ramach avarav, the ramach b'kudin he ramach avarav the malka kanal. That the hug is fulfilling the positive commandments specifically. That the 248 mitzvahs, positive commandments of the 248 limbs of the king. What about the negative ones? The negative ones are not called the limbs of the king, because a person puts on tefillin. How long did he have his tefillin on today? He had his tefillin on 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, however long he had his tefillin on. And that is a limited extension of being connected to Hashem. We call that a hug. How much didn't you kill anybody today? I'm assuming you didn't kill anybody today. Okay. How much didn't you kill somebody today? You didn't kill anybody infinitely. That's not a limb. That's
the entire day I didn't kill anybody.
Infinitely, the whole entire day you didn't kill anybody.
Right.
So that is an extent. That's an expression, a way of drawing down the unlimitedness of Hashem. That's not a limb. That's the entirety of Hashem. Yeah. Adhering to the transgressions is a much greater accomplishment in this aspect than doing the positive commandments. Because when a person doesn't do a transgression, he's making himself a vessel for the unlimitedness of Hashem. You see how that works, Michael? Okay? How much are you not doing it? You're not doing it an infinite amount of times.
Okay.
Or an infinite much. Okay? The expression is like 1 over 0 would be the equation.
Infinite.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay? I'm doing it 1 over 0 times. So that is a vehicle for conveying the infinite. That's just not limiting to a limb, whereas tefillin is a specific extension, and tzedakah is a specific extension, and shema is a specific extension.
Question?
Go ahead.
But I thought, some point of time.
This is in this
when you
way,
do a negative command, when you commit it,
when a person transgresses,
when you transgress, it's also infinite. You're
no, you only transgress once.
You transgress once, but you disconnect yourself from Hashem until you've done tshuva.
Correct.
So you can't
and he does
get
say
any,
in the third
parak
hatasi negitami, you always have to be constantly doing tshuva.
Right.
Because of that's because of our own shortcomings.
Okay.
Because it's a mitzvah to do tshuva too, by the way. It is one of 248. Okay? No, there are ways, he's going to talk about elsewhere, he'll say, but doing a positive commandment is much greater than doing a negative commandment. You know, so it depends on just where you're asking. What I'm trying to explain over here is why does he only say, that he says that only the positive commandments are limbs, mm-hmm. because the negative commandments are much greater than limbs. Generally speaking, the mitzvahs, the positive commandments, are divided into right, left, and middle. That they refer to kindness, judgment, and mercy. That they are the two arms and the body. Okay, you have mitzvahs that are more positive, all the positive commandments. You have like, tefillin goes on the left arm. That's an expression of controlling judgment. For example, the left side of judgment. The mitzvah of tzedakah, you think you do it with your right hand, it would be an expression of kindness, but the mitzvah of tzedakah is actually an expression of rachmanis. Okay, and etc. Zeshe Omer, this is what we say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvaysav, who has sanctified us with his commandments. That the word Kiddushanu has made us holy. The word made us holy means he separated us from everything else that's out there. Like, for example, Ka'adam ha-mikadesh es isha, like a person who marries a woman. We use the word mikadesh there, hari'at mikudesh es li. Because the marrying of a woman makes her separated from the rest of the world. She's not allowed to be married to anybody else. Right. So when we're doing a mitzvah, we're sanctified, we're separated specifically to Hashem. We're not connected to anything else in the world at that time. So the time when a person, that's why we have this, this is, was included, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolim, when they made up this bracha, included in this word, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav. You know, every bracha could have said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shemitzava Aleinu L'haniach Tefillin. Blessed is Hashem who commanded us to put on tefillin. That would have worked. If you want to have to say a bracha. But that's not what they said. There's a whole poetry going on over here. Chas v'Shalom, I'm saying it's just poetry. But Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, when I put on the tefillin now, I am now separated from the mundane and moving on to the holy. He's sanctifying his wife. He's making makudish to her to be united with him with an ultimate unity.
Right.
As it says concerning Adam and Chava, that they should, each person should cleave to his wife, and they should become like one. They should not like one flesh. They should become one flesh. Okay, because as we know the vort, that a man is a half a man and a woman is a half a woman, and you put the two together, you get one entity. Okay? We're still on page 244. Kachamamish, we're about to turn the page. Kachamamish, yeser al kain, and how much more so now? So too it is, and how much more so, or infinitely more so, laying case. Hu yichud nefesh alakis is the unity of the godly soul. Ha'aisek is b'teira un mitzvahs, that is occupied with doing the Torah and the mitzvahs, v'nefesh ha'chayunis v'lovashehem b'orein sov baruch hu, utilizing his animal soul and its garments of thought, speech, and action, including the body over there, are united with the light of the infiniteness of Hashem. If it's going to be that all you have to do is put a ring on a lady's finger, and you say Ahariyat Mekudeshes Li, and then you become one entity, it's no longer him and her, it's now a couple. Okay? So now, with Hashem, we become totally united with him. There's a famous story involving, I don't know if I told this story, maybe I told it last week, because I remember telling the story, maybe you'll stop me if I told it. This is the Alter Rebbe was on his way to go someplace. And as he's walking out of his study, he hears his wife say, "Mein zucht." "My says," meaning referring to her husband. And, you know, in Yiddish, it's very, very genteel as the way people talk to each other in public. And some people wouldn't even say, so far as it would be considered not tznias, to even say, my husband.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they would just say, mine says.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
And I remember my grandmother would refer to my grandfather as mon, man. She'd call him mon. She wouldn't call him by his name. If we were there, I don't know, in private, I'm sure probably she did. But if we, the little kids, were standing around over there, she would just call him, like, sir. You know, like, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I can understand, you know, because mon, when I was growing up, so I asked my mother, it was one of the things that cracked up my mother. I said, why does Bubby call Zeta poppy seed? Because mon is poppy seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother just did exactly what you're doing. She just laughed. She just said she's not calling him poppy seed. She's calling him husband.
I love it.
You know, so...
Uh-huh.
So the altar's coming out. This woman says, his wife says, mine zucked.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, with one mitzvah, I became yours.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, you know, the mitzvah peravu, sanctifying. Mm-hmm. How many mitzvahs do we become Hashem's?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, he leaned against the doorpost in a state of rapture. And he stood there. Remember, he's going on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was like 5 minutes late or something, you know. So he's standing, he said, for several hours, he stood there engrossed in thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then came out, and when he woke himself up, he said, Sa'ena arena b'nais Yisrael, go out and see how beautiful are the daughters of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the point being is that with the mitzvahs and the Torah, we become Hashem's. How much of us becomes Hashem? B'yichud gomer va'atzim v'nifla. In an awesome, mighty unity. One which we can't describe how unified it is that we become by doing these mitzvahs. You think you're just putting a quarter in the pushka. Mm-hmm. But he's going to say in next chapter, discussing exactly that it's not just a quarter, it's Hashem. And we'll leave it for the explanation in chapter 47. Lachen himshil shlaima amalach alav shalom b'shir hashirim yichud zeh liyichud chosen in kalav v'dveikas hashika v'chafetza v'chibuk v'nishuk. That's why Shir Hashirim, Shlaima HaMelech describes the relationship of the Jewish people to be like a chosen in kala, with cleaving and longing and lusting and hugging and kissing. It's a Hasidic joke that we know that Shlomo Melech was not a chassid. Because had he been a chassid, Shir Hashirim would have been about the relationship between a Rebbe and his chassid, not mm-hmm. between a bride and a groom.
Uh-huh. Indeed, yes.
V'zeh she'omar asher kideshana b'mitzvaysav. This is what it means now, when he says that he sanctified, he made us kodesh, he made us holy with his commandments. Shahalena lemaila kodesh elyon baruch hu, that he raised this up to the level of which level of holiness? Hashem's level of holiness. Shehu kedushas shel kodesh baruch hu b'chvaydo v'atzmai, that we achieve now by doing the mitzvahs. We don't achieve just that, oh, this person's holy. No, we achieve a level of Hashem's holiness. How removed is Hashem from the mundane world? Totally. When a person is engaged in doing a mitzvah, they are totally and completely removed from the mundane world. That's why Levi Yitzchak Bardish, the famous story, when he saw he told his balagola that tomorrow morning we have to leave early.
Mm.
Okay? So he walks out and he sees his balagola has got his talus and filling on, and he's got the big can of axle grease, and he's greasing the wheels. You know this story, yeah? And he says to Abroinu Shel Olam, look how precious your mitzvahs are. Because even when they're greasing the wheels of the wagon, they're wearing talus and tefillin. Kind of flipped it around a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, you did.
Okay. So that we achieve, when we're putting on the tefillin, when we're doing that mitzvah, we are, it's a precious thing.
Mm.
And even if it happens to be, okay, how much did a person actually concentrate on his davening when he was davening this morning when he had his talis and tefillin on? Okay, every thought that you could possibly think of that could possibly pop into your head in the time that you were spent davening popped into your head.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, but did that take away from the fact that you were putting on tefillin? Putting on tefillin doesn't say anything about it. It says, it doesn't say what you got to do in them.
Right.
Okay? In fact, if it would be, when you're talking, there's a whole discussion of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Do you have to have intention of doing a mitzvah? It seems like some mitzvahs maybe, yeah, maybe not, but tefillin for sure not. Mm-hmm. If you're walking down the street and out of the sky, out of a window, falls a bag of tefillin, and you happen to be putting your, you're stretching, you put your arm up, and at that second, the tefillin land on your left arm and wrap themselves up on your left arm, and the shel rosh falls onto your head right between your eyes, guess what? You're doing the mitzvah tefillin. You had no intention of putting on tefillin in that second.
Oh, and there's another opinion, if you don't have the rotzon, that's Hashem's will, you don't get the mitzvah.
There's an opinion that mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Okay, like we would see, for example, like it talks about if you're walking ba'achori beis haknesses on Rosh Hashanah, you're walking behind a shul, and you hear the shofar being blown. So it says over there clearly, if he has the intention that he wants to be yaitzi, so he's fulfilled his mitzvah of hearing a shofar. But if not, he's just going by and he said, oh yeah, you know what, that was a shofar, then he's not yaitzi. So you see that there are some mitzvahs yes, some mitzvahs not. If you're walking in the street and a dollar falls out of your pocket and a poor person picks it up, you did the mitzvah of charity. And you didn't even know the thing fell out of your pocket, you did the mitzvah of charity. Of tzedakah. So, now I have my finger on the place for no reason because this is not where we are. I don't know why I did that. Kedusha, first one is Kedusha hu lashon havdalah. The word Kedusha means to separate. Sanctified means removed in English. Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu moved the ma'olamais, that which Hashem is removed from the world. V'hu b'chin is seviv kol olim. Masha ena yachalis labish b'hem. Hashem, we said at the top of the previous page, and he said it first introduced this concept in chapter 3, is that Hashem fills all the worlds and Hashem encompasses all the worlds. Not that Hashem is surrounding the world in big circles, but there's two different life forces which are enlivening the world simultaneously. Mm-hmm. The one which fills the world and enlivens it is based on how much each organism needs. And then you have this level of godliness which is too high. It's too great a level of godliness to be enclosed and revealed in any organism. And we call that Sovev Kol Olmim because it has a relationship with the world. Sovev Kol Olmim is tailor-made to the world. Everything in the world is the same thing. It's like everything exists the same. But it's too high for the world. But in the meantime, it still relates to the world. So we say that he says over here that this level of Kedusha comes from Soviv Kolonim. Mm. The one that relates to us and relates to the world comes from this level of Soviv. Mm-hmm. Ki al yidei yichud ha-nefesh v'hiskalusa bo'or ein soif baruch hu, because through a person uniting his soul and being incorporated in the light of the Infinite One, harihu b'mailos ha-medregetz kudushos orein sof mamish, then he reaches the level of orein sof. This idea of incorporating means, we gave the example back in chapter 20, I believe, and he talks about it again in, no, chapter 20 talks about the words coming out of a person's mouth. Where did we have it? Chapter 33. I'm not going to remember where it was, but it comes again in chapter 4 in Shor Yehud Vamuna. The example of the sun ray before it's been emitted from the sun. Mm-hmm. That's what the word hiskalalus means. Incorporated, included in it. The sun ray is there. It has a something to it. We know its existence because it came out of there. If it came out of there, before it came out of there, it must have been there. But there's nothing there but sun at the time when it's in the ray, when the ray's in the sun. So the person now, by doing the commandment, loses their existence. They are no longer Fred or Harry or Joe. They are mitzvah doers.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this many times, that if someone's in the middle of, if someone's doing a mitzvah, you have to stand up for them, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's even carrying a mitzvah,
right.
If you have tefillin and someone else has nothing, you have to go through the door first, for example, out of respect to the tefillin. Same thing with svarim, whatever, any type of holy object. Because you're no longer you, you're now a tefillin carrier. You've lost your existence as Harry, Joe, or Mo.
This is what it says, you should be holy to me because I am holy. I separated you from the nations. I made you holy.
Mm-hmm. Hashem went to all the trouble to come down here and make us holy. What should we do? At least cut him some slack and be holy back.
Maybe we should be holy.
To be mine. Why did Hashem do all this? Hashem chose us. When Hashem, you think of the fact that, you know, that Hashem chooses us. And as like we said before, is maniach kol elyonim v'tachtonim. This is embodied in Moedah Ani. The Rebbe speaks about it in great length about Moedah Ani and the work called Essence of Chassidus. You ever read it? You ever heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I heard of it? Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, you've learned in Yonash Alteres of Chassidus. So the Rebbe talks about Moedah Ani. There's an example of what does Chassidus do.
Mm-hmm.
The very simple level of Moedah Ani is what? Thank you for waking me up.
Right.
You could have been that I didn't wake up this morning, Chas V'Shalom, but you know, Hashem, you did all this, you know, everything, whatever happened, and still you woke me up this morning. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how should that make you feel? That's, if you thought about it, it should be like, I really love Hashem because Hashem woke me up this morning.
Right.
But what's the next word after thank you is melech. What does melech mean? Boss. What does the boss want you to do? He wants you to work your butt off.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the boss wants. So now, okay, you chose me. Now I've got a big responsibility now. I got to go do what I got to go do. So in one instance, yes, we have the, which is a very, it's a tremendous sense of responsibility that was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Hashem woke you up. But Hashem woke you up for a reason.
Right.
And it wasn't just to see what kind of lunch you're going to make for yourself today.
Right.
This is Leah Isli. Va'amr vasisim es kol mitzvaysai v'yisim kedeshim alakechem. Ani Hashem alakechem. As it says, and you shall do all of my commandments, and you should be holy to your God, because that I, Hashem, am your God. Pirish ki al dekiyam mitzvahs hareini alakai shalachem. What does that mean, that statement? That you do mitzvahs, Hashem says, okay, I'm your boss, I'm your God. And it's a very simple thing to understand. A king is not a king until you make him the king.
Right.
Queen Elizabeth declares today that all of her subjects have to wear blue hats. Are you going to wear a blue hat? No, because she's not my queen.
Right.
I don't care what she says. Kemelakei Avraham, Elakei Yitzchak. We see the same thing. It's Elakeinu. It's the same thing like by saying like Elakei Avraham, Elakei Yitzchak. What did they do? They had to work at it. They really had to bust their chops in order that Hashem would stick his name on them. How did they get to be called, have attributed to them, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Because they gave up their free choice.
Right.
They willingly gave up their free choice and said, Hashem, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. Thrown into a furnace, no problem. Sacrifice my son, okay,
yeah.
Do it in an afternoon. Get sacrificed, also no problem. You remember Yitzchak was 37 years old and he said, okay. You know, he could have just as easily said, you're going to do what?
Yeah. Don't slip, man.
No way, man. I'm moving back to Mesopotamia. Yeah,
exactly.
We're not going to do this human sacrifice stuff. Not me.
No.
Okay, but he didn't. He was willing.
Yeah.
And Yaakov went through all the trials and tribulations that he did from in utero until the day that he died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this type of thing, so they merited that Hashem should say, you know what? These people, I'm putting my name on them. Mm. We're going to have, they can say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. Mm. Okay, and what do we get to say? We get to say Elokeinu. At least collectively. And you have also times, Elokei Neshama, etc. Let's look for a good place to stop. I'm going to get up to this is also the meaning.
Okay.
So too it is with every single Jew. When he's occupied with the Torah and the mitzvahs, therefore, the rabbis have decreed that you have to stand up in front of somebody doing a mitzvah. Even if he is, I don't know, I can't use the terminology. He's a lowlife, you know, but you know, he's not a refined Talmud Chacham type person. He's a regular person. I mean, nay Hashem, because I don't know, when you talk about born Amma Aris, the Alter Rebbe is born Amma Aris, might in our generation be considered like great scholar.
Yes,
indeed. Because Hashem, as I explained this before, Hashem is resting on this person the time they're doing the mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
Hanefesh Mirais Maris Alakim. That this boor, his soul doesn't feel it. Why doesn't he feel it? Because of his coarse extremities, his physical body, which he has not yet purified, his eyes are darkened, and his soul from seeing the Elokus, Kamaya Avos, not like the Avos did. The Avos worked on themselves so that when, for example, they did a mitzvah, they could see the spirituality which was involved with it. And so too also like a Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by our generation. Why? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu put on tefillin, he saw the God only is coming into the world. And when he was shown all the generations, and he saw our generation, and said, they're putting on tefillin, and they don't see what happens, and they're still putting on a tefillin? When you think about what's tefillin, there you have a leather box with some writing on it, and you put it on your arm and you put it on your forehead. Does it, you know, if we weren't Jews and we knew about what it was, it would look so strange.
Mm.
You know, and that's what, you know, when you have to put on tefillin in a public place, you get strange looks because it is absolutely the most weirdest thing that a person could probably do in public, is put these things on their heads. I know there's a lot weirder ones, but
trust me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I've been to Berkeley, California. I know. To be continued.
Yeah.